So there's a reason why people are hesitant to meditate and that they're not interested in meditation. And that's because meditation is too much like death. And people don't often want to be reminded of that too soon. Because you say to the dead, rest in peace. And in meditation also, isn't that what we try to do? Is to rest in peace. And so we are making the effort to keep the mind dead. Or at least in suspended animation. To withdraw all the mental energy that's out there dispersed in the field of thoughts that are involved in the so-called world and retract, much as the tortoise retracts its limbs into the shell. We retract our mental pseudopodia back into the core of our soul. And we do that because by doing that, we discover that there is a place within our being that is forever peaceful. There's a space within our heart that's untouched by fear. It's also untouched by desire and confusion and attachment. It's liberated. This is the real self. But we often forget about this core of our being, and we're out there enmeshed in the field of fears and denial of those fears and defense mechanisms and ways of warding them off. But we're identified with an entity that is fearful. So in meditation, we're disidentifying from any sense of being an entity. And we enter into the inner state that is silent and untouched by fear. And if you'll stay in this state long enough, you will find that the fears that you have withdrawn from dissolve because they're not being fed by constant attention and identification. And so tonight, as an exercise, let's withdraw into that space of silence and peacefulness and allow ourselves to become aware of the fears of the ego and let them dissolve because they are phantasms. They're not real. They're based on false assumptions about reality or past memories, images, or assumptions about reality that were never true. And the self that is at the core, at the heart of your being, has good reason to be fearless because you are eternal and bodiless and therefore invulnerable. The bodily organism, yes, it's perishable, but the self is not. And once we are in a state of realization of the imperishable, unlimited self, we can let go of the fears as well as the attachments and desires that were meant to ward off those fears. And so the whole ego function becomes irrelevant and we can allow it to dissolve. This is the state of vairagya. We used to have a student here who would always pronounce it Viagra. But it's actually the opposite of Viagra because it's the refusal to be stimulated by the sensual realm of Maya. It's a state of dispassion. And in that state, we can no longer be conquered or taken out of ourself by the sensual plane of reality, which is not only attractive but threatening. And it is that dance of the two that generally keeps the ego mesmerized. But both are illusions. And once we recognize that the desire is a defense against the fear, and it always leads back to the fear, or a vexation, or some kind of suffering, and is never what we really wanted, because what we really wanted was to find the place that is at peace. If we stay in that place of peace, the peace grows, the energy augments, and all the dispersed energies that were out there lost in the fearful fantasies return and give us the strength, the courage, the power then to transmute the peace itself into the next level, the next frequency, beyond serenity, which is love, and beyond love to bliss, to the ultimate liberation. And so that's available to us at this very moment, simply by making the decision to rest in peace. And to let all the other projects of the ego to dissolve, to die. And what we find then is that meditation is not what the ego thinks. It's not boring. It's not a lack of involvement. But it is actually a transcendence that enables us then to return to the world, reborn. The death is not the end, but we will come back into the world, reborn, but without fear and without desire, but with love, with an ability to give. Because you see, often at the ego level, desire masquerades as love. But really, desire is wanting to take. There's something vampiric about desire. It wants to suck the life and the love and the energy from the other to feed the hungry ghost of the ego. But when we come back in a state of love, then we are able to really give something that enlivens the other and brings the other also to that state of liberation. And there's nothing more gratifying than sharing that and realizing that the other whom we are sharing it with is our very self, in the form of what is seemingly another being, but we realize that this whole world of multiplicity is the same self appearing in all its possible permutations. We are all the same being, inflected as a different facet of an infinite diamond, and we can take infinite joy in seeing the self in every form, in every possible mode of experience, and share that and be enriched by it rather than be envious of the other, jealous of what they have that I don't have, or all of those games and fears that the ego is obsessed by. They all fall away, and they're simply a love, an enjoyment of the divine beauty of the other. And we see that every other is divinely beautiful because the other is the self, in a form that is essential to appear in the world to complete the self's infinite potentiality in this symphony that life is. And so the synergy of all of us recognizing the self in one another creates an energy field that would not be possible to one form of the self alone. But then coming together as a community of love, sharing that vibrational frequency of oneness, then creates a potential for manifestation of that love in ever new creative forms that enriches the whole planet, the whole cosmos. And we realize then why this universe has been created, so that that ultimate achievement can occur by working together, playing together in the divine dance of Shiva and Shakti, of nirvana and samsara, form and emptiness. And so everything becomes utterly fascinating and delightful and beautiful once we have made that transition from desire to love. And because the coin of desire and fear always comes with both sides, you never get one without the other, by exchanging that coin for the much more valuable diamond of love and light and wisdom and truth, then our very world becomes far more valuable than it ever could have been. We find a new standard of value, and we find that the source of value is everywhere. It's not rare. It's not missing. There's no shortage, but an abundance. And the abundance of love brings about abundance on every other level. And one discovers that the reason there are so many shortages in the world today, food shortages, oil shortages, electrical shortages, shortages of every kind, are because there's a shortage of love. And it's being reflected in all the different levels of external reality. But when the love gushes out of the heart, and we can share that, it will be reflected in the form of abundance, even at the level of the natural world. But at every level, then, the social world, the biological world, the cosmic world will reflect back the abundance of beauty and joy and every kind of satisfaction that the soul is really seeking.